Again, I desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. I want us to turn to Ephesians, the third chapter. I want to read a scripture out of that. And I want to share with you a true story that happened to me the other day, just a few days ago. I feel like the Lord brought to my mind for this time. I was at Home Depot, and I was looking for some plumbing part, some obscure plumbing part. And so I was in the plumbing department, and there was this little short lady, literally about this tall, and in a little apron, and she spoke Spanish. And I was kind of looking around for a man, because I felt like a man would know more about what I needed than this little short woman would know. And so I made a quick judgment in my mind not to ask her. And so I'm looking, and about 10, 15 minutes later, I'm still looking for the part. And I happened to be close to her when she was explaining, when someone else had come and asked where they were asking her. I started looking at what she was doing, and I found that she knew what she was talking about. She was getting the parts for this man and telling him what he needed to do and how he needed to do it and what else he needed for what he was doing. And then she helped someone else, and I thought, would you help me when you finish with this? And so, sure, she would come and help me. She came and helped me, took me right to the parts that I needed and told me exactly what I needed to do. Now, why did I tell you this? I told you this because in my mind, I had made a judgment about this woman that wasn't a proper judgment. I had no right to do that. But we do it all the time, don't we? And I thought, in one sense, I want to read a scripture for you, because we find out we're going to talk about faith tonight, believe it or not. And but I want to read a couple scriptures for you that I believe the Lord has given us. I want us to turn to Acts, the 10th chapter. And I want to read, first of all, Acts 10 and verse 34. If you have it, read it for us, please. Acts, yes. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So in other words, God is no respecter of persons. And I think that that's an important thing for us to understand. We tend to have times and places that we are have respect of persons, that we make judgments about people that we should not make, and all of us do it. I don't believe that we can say, any of us can say that we don't do it in some way or another. Now, we may not do it to the point that it's sin or something like that. And I didn't think anything of it. I just made this quick judgment in my mind about this woman that she didn't know what she was talking about. And she knew far more about the plumbing department than I did. And I could have saved a lot of heartache, headache, stress. I needed to get it in a certain period of time, and I'm looking, and I'm just not going to ask her because I believe that a man would know more about this particular part than a woman would. Now, that's a judgment that I made, and it wasn't a correct judgment. The Lord is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, the scripture says. It doesn't matter who you are. If you work righteousness, you're accepted of him. And when you take into consideration how absurd it would be for God to be a respecter of persons. Why would it be absurd? Because God made us all. And what he'll do for you, he'll do for me. What he'll do for me, he'll do for you. What he does for somebody else, what he did for Paul, Silas, Peter, all the people back in the Bible times, what he did for them, he'll do it for us as well. And we need to have that kind of understanding in our mind that the Lord is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what I need. If I have the faith and I have the ability to trust the Lord for it, the Lord is not going to say, all right, because you are born of this generation, or you're born of this nationality, or you are whatever it may be, whatever the limitation that we may put on the Lord didn't have limitations on us. What we need to understand in our own mind that the Lord will do the things for me, for you, for us that we need him to do. All right, I want us to go to the third chapter of Ephesians, and I want to read the 20th verse there. If you have it, read it, please. Him that is able to do all things, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, one of the things that I want us to get a hold of, what happened to my pens? All right. If you'll bear with me. Right. One of the things that it says here, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. So one of the words we have here, exceeding, this means that it goes beyond. Exceeding abundantly is another word that we use that is that abundant. In person. So he says exceeding abundantly. So whatever we can conceive in our minds, the Lord is able to do. Not only is he able to do what we can conceive in our mind, but he's able to exceed that. And not just able to go beyond it, he's able to go exceeding abundantly beyond it. Above all that we ask or think. So all of these adjectives, I guess that's what it is, he can go beyond all of that if we can put it in our minds that the Lord is able to do it. Now, the reason that we started out with the thought that the Lord is no respecter of persons, because sometimes we limit the Lord by thinking the Lord can do it for old brother Pruitt or old brother whoever, but he can't do it for me. The Lord is no respecter of persons. The Lord doesn't care what generation you were in. The Lord doesn't care what you did in the past. The Lord made you, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now, one of the things that we have in our minds is, when I take into consideration the example that I used with the lady, I didn't ask her because I didn't think that she knew it. I didn't think that she had the knowledge or the ability to do what I wanted her to do. So therefore, I didn't even ask her. You know, there are limitations that we put on God. God is not to be limited in our little finite minds. We want to put God in a little box, but God is able to go far beyond the things that we believe that he can do. All right? So one of the things that we fail to ask the Lord if we don't think that he's going to do it for us. Or if we don't think that we often say these things, and I say it myself, we say, I know the Lord can do it, and Lord, I want you to do it for me. Well, we know he can do it, but if we don't believe that he is going to do it for us, then we won't ask him. All right? So it says, all that we ask or think. It's just not asking, but if I can conceive it in my mind, then the Lord can do it. All right? So the Lord is able to do, and I want us to establish this, the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, not just some of the things that we're dealing with. So the Lord wants us, our faith to be increased, doesn't he? Lord, increase my faith. Now listen, as I'm preaching to you tonight, guess who else I'm preaching to? I'm preaching to me. These are things that the Lord has dealt with me about. These are things I'm still working on. But the Lord has helped me to be able to push the limit a little bit beyond what is in my mind that I believe that the Lord that I would ask the Lord for. So now I've learned in my mind to ask the Lord for things that are a little bit beyond what I can believe, what I can just take in. There are some things that the Lord has done for us that we can't take it in. Have you heard people say that? I just can't take in what the Lord has done for me. It seems like it's just a little bit beyond us. But the Lord wants us to understand that he is able to do anything that we can put in our mind, that we can even think about, whether it's healing, and I know that we come across some very difficult things, whether it's a financial situation, whether it's a family issue that seems like it's going on and on and on, whether there's an issue with an individual, a relationship issue, the Lord is able to do it if we can believe that the Lord will do it. One of the things that limits the Lord is not the Lord's ability, it's our ability to trust him. So the limit that we put on the Lord, he says here in this scripture, now this is a scripture that is a promise in the Bible that says if you can believe it, he's able to do beyond that all we ask or think, and we give him according to what? The power that works in us. So So there is a level of faith that we've got to ask the Lord, Lord, I need you to increase my faith. There are some times that we need to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, I need to be able to open my mind to be able to believe that you're able to do this particular thing for me. Sometimes we need to pray for ourselves before we pray for the thing that we're asking for. We need to pray that the Lord, Lord, I want you to have mercy on me that my mind won't limit you. That I won't limit you in your ability to do it because you say, if I can think about it and I can ask about it. Now, one of the things that we tend not to do, we tend not to ask with a very, very much authority if we don't believe that the Lord is going to do it for us. So here's my point. I didn't ask this little lady to get the thing that I needed. Because I just didn't believe. There was something in my mind that limited me because of what I saw. What I saw, I made a judgment, and it limited me, and it made me waste a lot of time that I didn't have to waste. Because when I saw her walking into the plumbing department, I was the first one to approach her. I walked right past her, and I just made this judgment that I'm not going to ask this lady for these two little parts that I need. And so I felt like I was able to do it on my own a lot better than she would have been able to do it. Do you know we do the Lord like that sometimes? We feel like, Lord, I'm going to take care of this myself. And if I can't take care of it, then I'm going to see about maybe asking somebody else to do it. And if they can't help me, then I'm going to ask you. But the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. These are mental things, right? So if we think about it, I'm not here preaching a mental kind of salvation, but there are some things, our mental state has a lot to do with how we process the gospel. It has everything to do with how we trust God. If I can limit God by the things in my mind. There's a scripture, let's turn to it, Romans, the 12th chapter, and let's start at the first verse. Y'all know what I'm going to. But let's read that. The first couple of verses, I believe. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, some folks want to think that it's not reasonable. Some of the things that God requires of us is not reasonable. Everything that God requires of us is reasonable. All right? The Lord has looked at it. And he has come to the conclusion that I'm not going to ask you anything that is unreasonable. That's wonderful, isn't it? All right, read. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are some times that we need our mind renewed, isn't it? Lord, I've got this preconceived notion about you in our mind. You know, one of the reasons that folks out in the world cannot believe that you can live a holy life is because they've been taught that you can't. Do you hear what I'm saying? The reason that we believe it is we've been taught and it's been instilled in us from a child, those of us that were raised in the Church of God, we have been instilled that you can live a righteous and a holy life right here in this present world. If you're not conformed to the world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've had that instilled in our hearts, in our mind, since we were children. Now, some people don't believe it. But those of us that are living a righteous and a holy life, there's something that happened to our mental state that brought us up out of that particular thought process that I can live a righteous and holy life. And there are folks here that have lived it for half a century. There are those that have lived it for 30 years. I've lived it for more than 30 years. You know, that sounds like old folks used to say it. Well, I've been saved for 40 years. Well, I've been saved for almost 40 years. And I'm just 53. It's wonderful. It's the great thing that God has done because we believed in our heart. The Lord gave us a renewing of our minds, and now we believe that If I want to live a holy life, I can live a holy life. Isn't that wonderful? I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that. And the Lord, I've come to the conclusion that the Lord is not like us. He's not a respecter of persons. Now, I want to talk a little bit more. I want us to go a little bit farther here. And I want to talk about, there are a few laws that I think that we need to get a hold of. And one of them is y'all bear with me, because I like writing on the board. I don't know if it helps you, but it helps me. So if you'll allow me to do that, sometimes it makes my point clearer, at least in my mind. I don't know about yours, but in my mind it does. So the Lord is able to do as exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So there is a level of faith that we must have. There is something in our spirit that we must have. And one of the things that I think as saints of God, we've got to pray on a regular basis, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, I believe, and help thou mine unbelief. Help me in a place that I can believe the things that I'm asking you for. Now, I believe every one of us come to a place where there is doubt in our hearts and in our minds. There is a thing called doubt. And doubt is not necessarily a bad thing. All of us have to deal with that. And all of us go through the process. But one of the things that I want us to understand is that we can have faith in God. All right? So faith is a process. It's a choice in one sense. That when we come to the place, there was one scripture in the Bible where the man brought his son to the disciples. Remember, his son was possessed with a demon. And he brought his son to the disciples, and he said, and the disciples didn't have the ability to cast him out. The Lord said, they asked the Lord, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. You just didn't believe it. It wasn't because I couldn't do it. It wasn't even because you didn't have the power to do it. There was something that limited your thought process. You didn't believe that it was possible, even though you were praying this way. You were laying your hand on this boy, and you were praying for him that the demon would be rebuked, and you didn't believe that it would be able to, that I was able to do it. So because of your unbelief, you limited me. And one of the things that we have to be very concerned about is that we don't limit the Lord in his ability and what he's able to do. We don't want to limit him, do we? So we have to pray for ourselves, and we have to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to open up my mind and to be able to believe that you're able to do the things that I'm asking you to do, that I'm needing you to do. So he brought him to the disciples, and the disciples could not cast him out. And then the man brought him, it's in the ninth chapter of Mark, I believe, the man brought the father brought his son to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. If thou canst do anything, have mercy on us. And the Lord didn't say, I don't know if I can do it or not. The Lord said, no, if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So the limiting power wasn't God and God's inability and God's limit. It was this man's inability to trust the Lord for it. And let me tell you, one of the things that helped him not to trust the Lord was the saints. The saints. You brought him to the saints, you laid him there, and he wasn't able to do it. So now, in his mind, I really don't know if it's possible, but I'm going to keep pushing beyond it. I'm going to push over it, and I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Lord said, Lord, I don't know if it's possible. If you can do anything, then have mercy on us and help us. And the Lord says, no, I want you to understand, and I believe what the Lord is saying to us today is, I want you to understand, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe it. And what did the man say? I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So one of the things that we can have is we can have a little bit of doubt. So here you might have doubt in the middle. I don't know. And unbelief, in one sense, unbelief is a decision. You know, how the scripture says in one place, in Hebrews, I believe it was, their evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. These are people that made a conscious decision not to believe. These are people that made a conscious decision to reject what the Lord had presented to them. We've got to be careful about that. When the Lord presents it to us, we've got to ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me and help me to believe. So somewhere in here, this man doubted right here. He doubted. I'm not sure if it's possible. This unbelief is trying to take me over. But Lord, I don't want it to take me over. I want you to give me the help that I need right now, that I'll be able to have full faith in it. So there he is. He says, I believe. I have faith, Lord. But help this part of me that is difficult for me to believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So we can literally have
unbelief while we're believing. And we need the Lord to purge us from that. We need the Lord. Lord, have mercy on it. And listen, again, I want to say I'm preaching to myself as well. I'm asking the Lord to help me in these areas. The Lord has helped me tremendously, but I've got a long way to go. And I believe the Lord wants all of us as saints of God to go beyond where we are right now. We've limited the Lord. We've put Him in a box, so to speak. And the Lord has said, I'm able to do so much more for my people if you will just believe. If you will acknowledge, yes, Lord, I'm not going to pretend that I believe everything and that I've got all the faith that I need. This man didn't pretend. And the Lord said, when he said to the Lord, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What did the Lord do? The Lord said, the Lord healed his son. And what do you suppose happened at that particular time? When he healed his son, there was something. I made a choice to not to believe. I made a choice to believe. It was a conscious effort. It was a conscious choice, Lord, that I'm going to hold on to you no matter what. I'm going to hold on to you even though the circumstances around me are difficult. I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm going to make certain by the grace of God it's not me that's limiting you. I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. I want to believe. Do you want to have a greater level of faith? Do you know the Lord wants you to have a greater level of faith? You know, one of part of the process of having a greater level of faith is asking the Lord, Lord, give me a new mind. There are some of us that are, I'm not one of those people. I tend to be a very positive, optimistic person. But when life hits you, a lot of times you become a little bit more cynical in your old age, right? I did. I have to fight it. I have to fight cynicism, that I have to fight that, oh, I've always thought that things were going to turn out all right, but now when I've got a little experience under my belt and I see that things don't always happen the way that I want them to happen, that kind of thought process can affect our faith and our confidence in God. And God wants us to understand that these things can affect you. So he says, be not conformed to this world. Don't think like the world does. Don't process the spiritual matters of God like the world processes them. Said, to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How are you going to be transformed? This is a spiritual book talking about spiritual matters. But right here it's talking about be transformed. How am I going to be transformed in a spiritual way? I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. How's my mind going to be made new again? My mind is going to be made new again by me trusting the Lord, me getting on my knees, us praying and seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, because there are some things that I'm conforming to in this world. There is a cynicism in the world. There is a strong spirit of unbelief in the world today. And nowadays, if we're not careful, we'll imbibe and sympathize with the spirit of the world. And we'll conform, our minds will conform to the way the world thinks about spiritual matters. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, that doesn't make any sense the way you guys believe? That's just, that's a little bit ridiculous. It's not even logical. Well, they may be right there that it's not logical to the level that they understand it. But nothing that the Lord does is illogical. It's not illogical. We may not understand it. I often think about the fact that there is, the reason that we are here is because Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, died on a cross. His blood was shed. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. How do I know that? I believe that with all of my heart. How do I know? And then that blood was shed for the remission of my sins, for your sins, and it still works today. How do I know that? I know it not just in an intellectual way, but I know it because I've had the experience in my heart. Now, make that make sense for you. Make it make sense that somebody died 2,000 years ago and the blood that he shed on that cross is still working today. I don't know how that happens, but I know it has happened. And I know it's more than just a theory. I know it's not a theoretical thing. It's something that is that's actually, when we apply by faith, we apply it to our life by faith, something changes. Our whole demeanor changes. Our whole attitude changes. Our whole spirit changes. I don't know. It's not so logical to the world, but it makes all the sense in the world to us that have experienced it, doesn't it? Isn't that wonderful? All right. So, let's go a little farther here. You know, the Lord gave me this message, and I don't quite know where to start and where to stop. So just pray for us that we'll be able to share it the way the Lord wants us to. Now, one of the things that I've looked at over the years is that the Lord has one of the wonderful things about salvation is all of us have equal access to the Lord. Every one of us. The Lord, as we brought out earlier, the Lord is no respecter of persons. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't love you more than he loves the person sitting next to you. He's not more concerned about the things that are happening in their life than he is about the things that are happening in your life. Now, one of the things about justice, when we talk about justice and the Lord being a just God, one of the things that makes him just is that he's made everybody has equal access to him whenever we need him, under whatever circumstances we're in, God, we have access to God. Isn't that wonderful? We have access to him, and we don't have to wait in line. We don't have to wait till brother, I don't have to wait till Brother Philip gets through talking to him, and then if he has time, he can talk to me. We can talk to him at the same time, under the same kind of conditions. May the Lord help us to understand that and to realize that, all right? So we go a little further here. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's go to John, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. Let's read that, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Who's speaking this? Jesus Christ is saying that. Now, do you really believe that? These are scriptures. These are not things that I made up. I'm not putting it together. I'm not taking it out of context. This is simply the way the Lord has laid it down. He said, the things that he has done, read it again. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, we can do as well. And he's telling us that. And he's saying to us, I am no respecter of persons. If I did it for them, one of the things that I don't find recorded in the Bible is that the Lord walked by and his shadow healed people. I don't find that recorded in the Bible that the Lord did it, do you? But we find that Peter did it, don't we? The things that there, so he's wanting to establish with us in our minds that there is no limitation on what God is able to do for you. You've got to believe that. There is a saying that that was really prevalent back in the day when my children were going to school. They had a little saying in their grade school that says, "If you can believe it, you can achieve it." Now, I know that there is a humanistic side of that, and that's not what I'm talking about, but I want to say that there is a level of truth to that. That the things, if I can believe, I can live a holy life, and I can be saved from the moment I get saved to the moment that I go out to meet the Lord, I can achieve it by the help and the grace of God. It's not something within myself that I'm able to do, but it's something that God is able to do for me because I can believe it. There are people, as a pastor, that I have dealt with over the years that have backslidden over and over and over again, and the thing that gets them is that they just don't feel like they can get over this particular hump. It's always that thing that brings them back, and they just, at some point, they just give up. I've had them to say that. I just give up. I don't believe I can be saved. You can be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. I had someone come to me and say, "Brother Darrell, I believe that I've blasphemed the Holy Ghost." And they wanted me to verify it. I said, "I'm not under any condition verifying that you blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I am not the Holy Ghost." And so I began to try to work with them in their minds. There is something that the enemy can take over and cloud an individual's mind to the point that that person cannot believe, they can't get beyond that point. And then I've seen other people that you've worked with and they've had the same kind of experience that you've worked with them, and they say, "Listen, I believe by the grace of God and by the power of God, I'm able to live a righteous and holy life. If I've got to ride that altar all the way to heaven, I'm going to ride it." And let me tell you, done too much. Every Sunday they're down there praying and weeping and asking the Lord to help them and whatnot. And sometimes you want to think, oh, there they go again. But you know what? They got a hold of something. They got a hold of something, and the Lord blessed them, and they were able to get up, and they don't come down like that anymore because they were able to put it in their minds, Lord, I believe that you're able to heal my mind. I believe, and that's what they needed. They needed a healing in their minds. The enemy had damaged their minds so bad that they couldn't believe it. And in their minds, they felt like God was a respecter of persons. Not only did they feel like God was a respecter of persons, they themselves were a respecter of persons. When they come to the point, then the person that they were feeling like God was not going to bless was themselves. Lord, I don't believe you're going to do this for me. So as a result, the Lord says, if you don't believe it, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe it. And if you don't believe it, it limits me. It prevents me from being able to do the things that I want to do for you. And you know, as a body, the Lord wants to do more things for us. He said in one place, he did not many mighty works in that place. Why did he not do mighty works? Because of their unbelief. They had preconceived, who is this fella that's coming in here with all of this authority? Don't we know him? Isn't he the carpenter's son? And his brothers and sisters with us? And the Lord had to leave that place. He said, a prophet is not without honor, as save in his own country. He had to leave that place. And he said, he did not many mighty works. He could have done wonderful things in that place, but because of their unbelief, he was unable to do it. Do you realize that the Lord is not able to do things among us because of our unbelief? Because we have limited it in our minds, because we don't think that he's able to do it anymore. And we don't think that the Lord is going to do it for us because we believe, yeah, that was back in the old days. That was back in Paul's day. That was back in Brother Chandler's day. That was back in old Brother Porter's day, or whoever it might be that you have a level of confidence in, and the Lord blessed them in some kind of great way. But what about in our day? Do you suppose that the Lord's power is any less now than it was 50 years ago? Do you suppose that the Lord doesn't want to do the things for us that he did for them? He wants to do it for us as well. And so what we have to say is, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. We have to acknowledge, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to acknowledge, Lord, I do believe. There is a level of belief that I have that you're well able to do this particular thing for me. But Lord, there's a part of me that doesn't believe it, that believe it as well. And Lord, I need you to wash it away, and I need you to renew my mind. I need you to help me to believe that I can achieve this particular thing. Let me tell you something else. At that, maybe 50 years ago, there were a greater level, a greater number of saints that had a greater level of faith than what we have today. What did the Lord say? When I come back, am I going to find faith? Am I going to find faith when I come back on this earth? So there is very clearly a low ebb of faith in our generation. And listen, I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching to you, and I'm preaching to me as well. Because I believe what the Lord wants all of us to get a hold of is that the Lord wants something greater out of us. But we've got to, Lord, remove the blinders from my eyes. Remove the things in my mind that limit me from being able to trust you and to be able to depend upon you for these particular things that I'm desiring of you, Lord. Have mercy on me. And when we pray that way, do you know what? I believe the Lord hears us. We can say, Lord, have mercy on us. There's one place that the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. What was it? For them to forgive, if someone offends you 7 times 70 in a day, I want you to forgive them 7 times 70 in a day. And they said, well, Lord, we're going to have more than what we've got on hand to be able to do that. You know, we're going to have to do that sometimes. These things that are private in our own minds, no one knows about it. We're all measured up on the outside, but in the privacy of our own thoughts, in our thought life, there are some things that the Lord wants to deal with. There are some things that the Lord wants us to forgive people for. And we just feel like we don't really have to do that because of the circumstances and the situation that, because of what happened, I don't really have to do that. Yes, you do. Because those things can be a hindrance to what God is trying to do in your life. Lord, have mercy on us. All right. Let us go a little farther here. Let us go to Romans, the 3rd chapter. And I want to read starting at the 22nd verse. Have it read it, please. Yes. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. So how do we live a righteous life? What does the scripture say? By faith. The only way that we can live righteous is by faith. And what is faith? The song that we sang today, faith is believing. It is, in one sense, a spiritual process, but it is also, in one sense, a mental process. And this is why our whole body needs to be sanctified. Mind, body, spirit, everything about us needs to be sanctified. Lord, I want to believe in my mind that you're able to do this. So it says here, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. The Lord is not concerned. He again is presenting to us there may be a difference in our mind about old Brother Chandler or old Sister Eck or whoever you want to say. The Lord, there may be a difference in our mind that they just seem more spiritual than I do. Well, maybe they do, but the Lord says there is no difference. If I meet the conditions that they met, the Lord will give me the same thing that he gave me. Listen, if I meet the condition that Peter met, the Lord will help my shadow to heal those that I walk beside as well, if the need be. Do you believe that? This seems so far beyond where we are today. Lord, help us. But I believe the Lord wants to get us there. He wants to nudge us a little further beyond where we are right now. Lord, have mercy. All right, read. All have sinned. They sin. Old brother so-and-so, he was a sinner one time. Old sister so-and-so, she did things that nobody knows about. You don't have to know about them because let me tell you, the blood of Jesus wipes it all clean and wipes it away. It doesn't matter anymore what they did. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. The Lord is able to save you to the uttermost, just like he did them. Isn't that wonderful? All right, read. Thank you. Yes. All right, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All right. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. You see how many times it says by faith? Listen, in one scripture it says without faith it's impossible. Hebrews, it talks about it's impossible to please God. So if I were the devil, what would I do? You're not going to go out there and sin, and you're not going to do a whole bunch of things that everybody else is doing. But if I can just get you not to have the level of faith that God wants you to have, I can pit you against God. So if I can just kind of suck the faith out of you or change your mind, the way that you process it and limit God and all the things that God wants to do for you. If I can put that in your mind, and the devil has the ability to do it, this is why the scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you look at those weapons of our warfare, a lot of them take place right here in the confines of our mind. Strongholds, a knowledge, those things are mental processes. And I know it's a spiritual thing as well, but I want you to get a hold of it. We're wanting to show you this side of it tonight. We can show you the other side at some other point, and I don't believe it takes away from what the scripture says. But it says, bringing into captivity every thought, not just the ones that appear to be good, but every one of them. So every thought that you have goes into this little prison, and then we don't think about it, we don't process it, we don't allow it to come out of that little jail cell, so to speak, unless it goes to the obedience of Christ. Unless it submits itself to the obedience of Christ. There are some that I'm not going to just let my mind run any kind of way, but the devil is able to put thoughts in our minds. And those thoughts that he puts in our minds can affect the way we see the church of God. You know, sometimes the way people have gone, they start processing. I've seen it. I've seen a little introduction of a false doctrine. I see an introduction of a false thought. I see an introduction of something that's not quite right, and as they began to process it and study it out and go in this little vein, before you know it, they're way off on a tangent. Whereas if they had brought those thoughts into captivity and they had earnestly prayed about it, let me tell you something. In the confines of our mind, when we think about it and we process it, we can do a whole lot of things in our minds, can't we? And nobody knows. Nobody knows but us. But if those things take root in our hearts, they will affect, just like you drop a little acorn by a foundation of a house, and it gets rain and it gets sunshine. Let me tell you what's going to happen. That big oak tree is going to have some effect on that foundation, isn't it? And in the same way, if you let a little thought drop in beside the foundation of what you believe and what the Lord has shown you, and you don't get that thing out and you don't pull it out, when it's really small, it's going to have an effect on your spiritual foundation. And this is what I see happening to a lot of people nowadays. Just a little thought, maybe something that they got out in the world, maybe something that they heard on the radio, or maybe some thought that some friend brought to them, and before you know it, they've opened themselves up to something, and they don't believe it the way they used to believe it. Lord, have mercy on us. It's true. All right, continue to read, please.
25. God has set forth to be a propitiation.
God has set forth to be a propitiation.
Yes.
To declare His righteousness. Yes.
To the forbearance of God.
The Lord forbears with us, doesn't He? He bears and forbears with us, doesn't He? And you know the interesting thing is, then the Lord wants us to do it with each other, doesn't He? He wants us to do it with each other. There are going to be some times when we're going to have to bear and forbear, aren't we? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're going to have to do a lot of bearing and forbearing with one another. Lord, have mercy on us. Long suffering. And if we don't have that kind of ability to do that, we need to ask the Lord to put it in our minds that we can believe that I can bear a long time with this individual, even though they, in our vernacular, they get on my nerves. Anybody ever got on your nerves? Yeah, sure they have. Lord, help us. All right, read. Declare, I say, this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. I can't boast because, the Lord's been blessing me so much with all the things that He's done for me. The Lord's blessed all of us, hasn't He? But do I have a right to boast about what the Lord has done for me? Am I any better than you because of the Lord? All the blessings of the Lord, and so therefore I deserve what the Lord is giving me? No. We're all equal. What the Lord will do for me, He'll do it for you. What He'll do for you, He'll do it for me. And do you know, sometimes I have to say that to myself. Sometimes I look at it and I say, Lord, I want You to increase my faith because I believe deep down in my heart, if You'll do it for them, You'll do it for me as well. Help me to get to that point. Sometimes I want to be there already. I want to just jump from where I am way over there to where those folks went through something. They dealt with some issues. They dealt with themselves. They conquered themselves. And therefore, because they conquered themselves, the Lord blessed them and the Lord increased their faith. And I want the Lord to do it for me as well. He's able to do it exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. What's that power? The power of faith. The power of Jesus Christ. If I have it, then the Lord is able to do. And you know, one of the things that the Lord taught me, I was in a situation not too long ago, and I thought, Lord, what should I do? And I was asking the Lord a particular thing that I should be, what I should do about a particular thing. And I decided, and I felt like the Lord told me this, I want you to get just a little bit out of your comfort zone. I want you to go beyond what you think you can do. And then when I did that, when I went beyond what I thought I could accomplish, it seemed like a whole other venue or avenue opened up for me. It's something that happens. It was like breaking a glass ceiling on my faith. And so now I have it in my mind, I can never go back to where I was. And now it's kind of interesting, and it's kind of, if you allow me to use it, it's kind of fun to get just a little bit beyond what you think you can do. To trust the Lord just a little bit beyond what's already there and what you can see. Lord, I'm not going to go way over there. I'm just going to go a step or two beyond so that this can open up to me. And this is what the Lord is asking us to do. He's not saying jump all the way. You know, remember how we used to say, play Mother May I? And may I take a few, wasn't that the one that we take a giant step? And then you take a baby step, all of whatever it was. Well, this is not that little game, but this is kind of what I want us to get in our mind, that we can take a little step. It doesn't have to be a giant step. But Lord, I believe that you can help me right here in this situation, under these kinds of circumstances. I believe you can help me, and I'm going to go a little bit beyond where I'm comfortable. And as I go beyond where I'm comfortable, that place of discomfort becomes my comfort zone. And then we go another step farther. And that place of discomfort. And so the Lord wants us to live, if you'll allow me to use this term, live in a zone of discomfort. To be able to trust Him more. To be able to do more for the work of the Lord. So Lord, I'm uncomfortable here. Yes, I'm uncomfortable here. But this is where I'm going to stay here until I get comfortable with where it is. And now I've just expanded my borders. That's what He did to the children of Israel, didn't He? He said, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I've already given it to you. I'm not going to give it to you. I've already given it to you. It's yours. But what did He say to them? Only be thou courageous. Very courageous. Don't fear. Be not dismayed. He constantly gave them reassurance that it's going to be all right. Just step on. Keep going. That promised land is all of yours. And you can obtain it, but you got to go and get it. And so the Lord wants us to understand that, not just individually, but as a body. He wants us to understand, yeah, you're going to face some giants. You're going to face some things that are unpleasant. You're going to face some things that make you very uncomfortable. But don't stay in the wilderness. Don't stay where it wasn't comfortable there. Really, if you really look at it, our comfort zones are not very comfortable sometimes, are they? So if I'm going to be comfortable here and not get what I want or need, I might as well be comfortable there by going forward. And this is what the Lord is wanting us to do. Lord, have mercy on us. All right, read.
27. Where is boasting then?
It is excluded. We can't boast.
By what law of works?
By what law of works? Is it by works? Is it because I'm going to, some folks feel like, if I work really hard, then I can get the things that I need. No, that's not what a child of God does. A child of God trusts God, they believe God, and then the Lord tells them what to do. And I'm not saying that you sit there here and twiddle your thumbs. Faith without what? Works is dead. But it didn't say we got to do the works. It says we got to have faith first. Faith comes before works. And so as a result of my faith in God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something. Because I believe God can save me, I come to an altar of prayer and I bow down and I ask the Lord, I repent of my sin. That's the works that I've done, my work of repentance. And as a result of that, the Lord, I bring myself to the Lord saves me, cleanses me, because I believe first. All right, and so is it by a law of works?
Nay.
No.
By
what law? By the law of faith. Now, I want to read a definition of a law. A law is a statement of fact. All right? Deduced from an observation to the effect that a particular natural or scientific phenomenon always occurs if certain conditions are present. So, the certain conditions that are present is there must be a penitent heart. And there must be a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there must be a connection with the Lord. And there's a law of faith. So we have this law, a law of faith, all right? And it's an important law for us to get a hold of. And so there's a law of faith. And we have to understand that. There are other laws. There's a few laws in the Scripture that it talks about. There's a law of sin.
I think Paul speaks about it. He said the law of sin was in my members. See another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I believe that's how that scripture goes. You know what I'm talking about. All right, so there's a law of sin. And when I look at these two, there's the law of God. There are the law of Moses. There's the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit. So there are various laws in the scripture that it talks about. And these laws are all basically under the heading of the law of God. All right, so we have to follow the law of God. It's not just the Ten Commandments, but there are spiritual laws that we have to live by. And if we live by those spiritual laws, the Lord will bless us. So here is a law of faith. And one of the things that we can see in this, there is a law of sin. And if there is a law called the law of gravity, right? So what happens if I have this marker in my hand and I drop it, what's going to happen? Fall. If I drop it 5 times, how many times is it going to fall? If I drop it 1,000 times. So there has to be certain conditions that are present in order for it to happen. So there has to be this law of gravity that when I drop it, it falls every time. Not one time is it going to go up or that way or the other way. It's always going to go down because there is a law that's pulling it down. Every time a person is in sin and a person goes into sin, I don't care who you are, I don't care how saved you've been, I don't care how long you've been saved, there is a law of sin that when you begin to dabble and play with sin, you begin to go down. There's no other way. Morally, physically, in many instances, you begin to go down because that law of sin pulls you down. Now also, what we have to understand is that there is a law of faith. It is a spiritual law. Now, I'm interested. I'm not a very scientific person, so the things that I'm going to say are very just really simple. But when we deal with the law of aerodynamics, we know what that is, right? The law of aerodynamics, basically, there is something that has to... There are four basic things to a law of aerodynamics. One is weight. One thing that you have to deal with. One is lift. One is drag. And the other one is
thrust.
Thank you. All right, so there's thrust. Now, an airplane that goes in the air, you know, I don't really like to fly. I've flown all over the world, but my preference, I'd rather drive if I had the opportunity to do it, but I don't have the opportunity. But it's always something interesting to watch those planes go up in the air, and there is something that it has to overcome. Does it incapacitate the law of gravity? Does it incapacitate it? In other words, is the law of gravity still in existence while they are going up in the air? Still in existence, but there has to be something that overcomes that law and allows it to go up. So in other words, the weight is gravity. It pulls you down. So what you have to have is something that lifts you up above that. So there is the law of the lift. So you lift as it goes up, there has to be thrust. Now again, this is a very primitive explanation, but you understand what I'm talking about. There has to be, as it goes up, there has to be something that raises it above, that lifts it above and allows out of the air this thing which is invisible that we cannot see, but it allows it to go up, and the way the wings are or the rotors or whatever it is that flies, it is something about the way it catches that which is invisible, the air, that lifts it above and makes and incapacitates the law of gravity. So in the same way, what we have to understand, our faith in the Lord, the law of faith, there is a law that as we lift up to the Lord and we look up to the Lord, it incapacitates the law of sin. It doesn't have the capacity to build us, pull us down. It doesn't have the ability to weigh us down anymore because of the law of faith. All right, so in the same way, what we have to understand, I've got a little example here, I think. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, we would take the Sunday school papers. You know what this is? Little boys, y'all know what this is? An airplane. All right, this airplane goes by the same law
of aerodynamics that a jumbo jet does. All right? It's a law. And there is something about the way that if you throw it, all right, for a moment, it overcame the law of gravity, didn't it? Now, let's just say that this is us. And I made that plane. I don't even know if I know how to make it again. But I made it. And when I made it, I got this little piece here, and these are identical, right? I got a little printer paper, and they were really probably from the same tree or whatever they got it from. And they were right next to each other. So there is nothing any different about this one than this one. The only thing is that this one, this plane, meets certain conditions that this one doesn't. But they're identical. So the Lord is no respecter of persons. What he'll do for this particular plane, he'll do for this piece of paper here. They're the same. What the Lord will do for me, he'll do for you. And only thing, the only difference is that when we acknowledge the law of faith, we have to endure certain things and meet certain conditions for us to fly above that, to eliminate the drag on our minds. It seems like I can't do it, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to be able to make it through this trial. It's 2 months, and there's this drag on the mind that pushes against us, but there has to be this thrust that goes beyond that, that keeps pushing forward, even though there is something that's trying to drag us back. We don't eliminate the drag, but we continue to thrust forward beyond it, and then as that which tries to pull us down, the wing, so to speak, the wings of faith catch it and lifts us up above those things. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So what we have to have, Lord, give me the thrust that I need to pull back the drag that's in my mind, that's incapacitating me, that's making me believe that I can't do it, that it's impossible for me. It may be possible for Brother Darrell, but it's not possible for me. But if it's possible for Brother Darrell, it's possible for you. The only thing that we have to do is we've got to meet the condition. So if we begin to do the same thing that we did initially, and we meet the conditions that were met with this, we'll be able to do the same thing. This is why God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons for the old time saints, Paul, Peter, Noah, Job. He's no respecter of persons for them than he is for us. If we meet the same condition and we actually do the things and we allow the Lord to bind us and fold us and do all the things that he wants to do, we'll be able to fly above it too. We will, by the help and the grace of God. You got to have the thrust. It's a law. There's going to be drag. It's there. There's going to be something that tries to drag our minds down, something that tries to eliminate us from rising above, something that tries to keep us from asking, maybe our own limitations. Maybe we have the little lady in Home Depot that we're saying, you know what, I'm just not going to ask because I don't believe that she knows what she's talking about. I don't believe that the Lord's going to do this for me. But the Lord is saying, I want to do it for you. You just got to push against it. What is thrust? It is, I've got to push. And as that plane goes down that runway, there's a thrust that it takes up and then lift. And then there's still this drag that comes on that pulls against the wings. But the way the wings are positioned on this flight of faith, you might say, there's going to be turbulences sometime, isn't it? There are going to be dips and bumps and whatnot. But you know what? I've never fallen out of the air yet. We get afraid about those things. We're afraid that these things are going, I might fall, I might whatever. But you know what? I'm not going to be afraid of getting up in the air because it might crash. I'm not afraid of getting on the highway because I might crash. Lord, help us to be able to believe it. If we would allow, and I thought in my mind, if we, this plane, this little piece of paper, was a flat piece of paper at one time, and if this was animated, if it had life, blood running through it, do you suppose to get it to this design would be painful? It would be extremely painful, wouldn't it? Maybe getting us where the Lord wants us to be would be painful as well. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to trust the Lord? Are you willing to depend upon the Lord? Desire that you pray for me. I want to trust the Lord. This message is just as much for me as it is for you. Scripture says in one place, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. And I'm fighting with everything in me for the Lord to give me what I need to be able to trust Him fully. Pray for me.